Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
All right, hour number three. This is Lock and Load. And let's have us a little conversation with a writer that is the well over 2,200 articles now in the archive by himself at amoland.com. And I am speaking about Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill. I'm glad to be here. It's always fun to be on the show.
Right. So I saw this and I wanted to talk about this just because I don't think most people know about the Hughes Amendment. I know about it. You know about it. We know what it does, but no, most people don't know about it. And you had an encounter.
Yes.
So tell me about this.
It's germane in part because there's a local radio show, the Russ Clark Show, that I sort of co-host. I go in studio anyway on Wednesdays for a couple of hours. I serve as the subject matter expert on guns and the Second Amendment, and I give an update on what's going on, particularly with Second Amendment. And sometimes there's not that much on that, and I just pontificate about other things. But on this particular day, which was last Wednesday, I had been talking about firearm stuff and what's happening in some of the circuit courts of appeal. And, I finished up the show and I was walking out to my car from the radio station and I see a vehicle of the Yuma Police Department pulling into the parking lot. It's a fair sized parking lot. I'm thinking, I should get a picture of a Yuma Police vehicle because it might be useful in one of my stories. Because oftentimes, I do articles on self-defense and we sometimes have, articles that are germane from local police department. So I'm reaching for the camera. I look and here the police car comes up, sort of pulls from like right in front of me. So it's sideways, not end to end. And the windows roll down. I said, "Are you Mr. Weingarten?" And I'm going, Yeah, I'm thinking thoughts of, there's all this, harassment of writers and, media people. And I'm thinking that seems unusual for Yuma. So, I'm Mr. I'd like to talk to you. The officer says, and they say, "I really would like you to talk more about the Hughes Amendment on your show." Now, if you know about the Hughes Amendment, and you do, and I do, and probably a lot of readers do, you're pretty deep into the gun culture because it's not as widely known outside the gun. And what it is there was an amendment added to the Firearms Owner Protection Act of 1986, which essentially stopped any further production of automatic firearms under the National Firearms Act for sale to ordinary citizens. And so they put this cap on if the firearm had gotten a tax stamp before the law went into effect in 1986, then those automatic firearms could be sold to citizens. And there's roughly 175,000 of them, I think the number is right now. And since the demand for those firearms has continually been going up, and the supply is now fixed, it means the price of those firearms have become astronomical because with the supply fixed and the demand growing, the price just keeps going up and up. And what, back in 86, you could purchase, say, a Heckler & Koch 94, I would say a 9mm rifle at the time, based on their MP5 action, and you could have it converted into essentially an MP5 for another few $100s, and for, you know, in the neighborhood of about $1,200, $1,500, $1,500, you could have a registered MP5 clone. Well, now an MP5 will run you $30,000 or more.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy. So if you're very wealthy, or if you just have, you know, $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 to spare, you can buy a registered automatic weapon under the National Firearms Act. And so when this officer mentioned that, I knew that he was part of the gun culture and that he was a friendly, and he was asking me, and he didn't complain. He just said, look, I can't call you up on the radio show when I'm on duty. It's not allowed. But I really would like you to talk about the Hughes Amendment. And I said, yeah, I know what the Hughes Amendment is, and I have a pretty good idea of what happened when it was passed. I listened to the actual debate and the voice vote that was taken. And it was a case of where the people at the NRA, because they were probably the major party that was negotiating with the leadership, which was the Democrat leadership, particularly Tip O'Neill and Congressman Hughes, who later was left in disgrace. I think he had some criminal convictions. Unusual for a person from New Jersey to be kicked out of the Congress for a criminal convictions. I thought that didn't happen, but it did. And he, they didn't. In New Jersey, generally, the government doesn't like people to have guns. And this, the Firearms Owners Protection Act of 1986 had been brewing for at least 7 years. We have to go back to the Gun Control Act of 1968, which, in spite of not getting anywhere near what Lyndon Johnson wanted, still had a lot of very bad law in. One of the things was that a record had to be kept of all ammunition sales, and it forbade the selling of ammunition that, was pistol ammunition to people under the age of 21. And these records were normally kept in the store and were often accessible by anybody, and they served as kind of a convenient shopping list for people who would want to burglarize houses, where they would know that firearms were there if they knew that the owners were gone. And so the Firearms Owner Protection Act did away with this requirement to keep track of ammunition purchases, which had been shown to be totally ineffective in stopping crime. And it put into effect protections for someone carrying a firearm or transporting a firearm from one state to another. And it required that there be a knowledge of a criminal act. In other words, it had to be a willful act to violate the Gun Control Act of 1968. It couldn't just be a paperwork error that anyone could easily make. And there were a lot of good protections that went on with it. But as the Firearms Owner Protection Act was being debated in 1986, Tip O'Neill called it Easter recess. And when they came back, they added an amendment to the act that would...
Hold right there. Hold right there. We're coming into the break. I want to hear about this because that's the thing. This is where we're getting into the meat. You can find this article at Ammoland.com. I'm speaking with Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load.
Webster.com, the home of DeSantis Quality Built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
All right, welcome back. This is our first of the two conversations I get to have with Dean Weingarten during the week, and we're talking about the Hughes Amendment, and we were talking about how it actually got to where it is. Now, I had to interrupt you. Please continue, sir.
Okay, I'd like to mention that it was an uphill battle to get a vote on the Firearms Owners Protection Act, and the NRA had to convince a majority of the people in the House. Now, they were able to get the Senate easier, but in the House, they had to use a rarely used procedure called a discharge petition, because the House leadership didn't want to vote on the Firearms Owner Protection Act. And so in order to bring about a vote, they had to get a majority of people in the House to sign a discharge petition saying they wanted to vote. And the leadership, of course, has a lot of power, and they could say, well, if you sign this, we're not going to support you in this, that, or the other. But eventually the NRA did get a majority to sign it, and they got a discharge petition going. And as they were debating the bill, and it looked like it was going to pass, Tip O'Neill called a recess. He was the Speaker of the House at the time and adamantly opposed to any reform of the 1968 Gun Control Act. And he's from Massachusetts, I believe. And when they came back from recess, they wanted to add an amendment to basically limit the number of machine guns or automatic weapons that could be sold to the American public to what existed at that time. And it is, I've read that it was Wayne LaPierre who agreed to that amendment in order to get the rest of the bill passed. Now, this type of horse trading goes on all the time. And it, I can understand, because they've been working on this for years, actually decades, because of the abuse by the ATF of firearms owners and gun shop owners. And they wanted to get these reforms through, and it seemed like, it must have seemed that it was a reasonable compromise. Not that many people had machine guns, and they were just freezing the number. But, of course, that set into motion this dynamic where the price of automatic firearms went through the roof. And there was no reason for this to be put into effect. People who went through the legal hoops and legally owned automatic firearms were incredibly law-abiding. And the only homicide that they could trace to automatic weapons, an illegal homicide, was, as I recall, a police officer who had one and committed a homicide with it. So the record of these people who owned the Class 3 firearms, automatic weapons, was absolutely stellar. I mean, you could not find more law-abiding people in the U.S. than these people. And then the reward that they got by the Democrats was to make it illegal to sell any more automatic firearms, even though they've been incredibly law-abiding. So this was voted on in a voice vote, and the vote sounded to me as if the no's won.
Yeah.
You know, and it just struck me that it was not a well-done vote, and it was Congressman Hughes, who had taken over the chairmanship or was running the House at the time, and, you know, many people have said that it was not done well. That it, but looking at Robert's Rules of Orders on it, it appeared to me that it was legal, if not ethical. And so I would say that that's probably how it happened. I think that this provision, this Hughes Amendment, is one that may be struck down by the Supreme Court at some time. Now, it has never, I don't think, actually made it to the Supreme Court. There were some lawsuits filed against, you know, to strike down this amendment, and to say that it was not being properly administered. And they went to the appellate courts, and they lost at the appellate court level. And then my understanding, my memory, is that the Supreme Court refused to hear those cases. But today we have the Bruin Amendment, not the amendment, the Bruin decision at the Supreme Court.
Right.
From last year in 2022. And it seems to me that an absolute ban on a whole class of arms seems a little unlikely when there is this whole procedure set up saying you can get a tax stamp and pay this much money and jump through these hoops, and yet the law doesn't allow you to purchase a tax stamp and to jump through the hoops.
Right.
At least that's how it's being interpreted. And the actual wording of the Hughes Amendment is not particularly clear. It says that people can obtain a tax stamp if it is under the authority of the U.S. government. Well, that's what the ATF does when it issues these tax stamps. It's under the authority of the U.S. government. And that's what was claimed in the previous lawsuits. But like I said, they went to the appellate level. So I would not be surprised if sometime in the not too distant future, in the next few years, let's say, to make that clear, if people brought up lawsuits, and there is one actually, I think it's out of Utah,
right,
that a fellow is saying that he wants to make a automatic firearm, and he's applying to the ATF for the tax stamp, but they won't issue the tax stamp to him, and he's saying, you have to issue a tax stamp if I meet the requirements. And they're saying, no, we don't, because of the Hughes Amendment. So that's in the works, and it'll be very interesting to see how that lawsuit goes. The attitude in the United States has changed. The people who have legal automatic weapons ownership under the NFA, National Firearms Act in the United States, have been absolutely stellar law-abiding people. So it seems to me that there might be a change, and the Hughes Amendment might be ruled to be unconstitutional, or at least DAG, or some other reason to require.
I've got a question for you regarding the. Well, I mean, I want to ask it in the next segment, just because I'm looking at what they're doing with the pistol brace thing, and I kind of have this idea that it might be opening a lane that the anti-gunners was not anticipating.
I think you are correct.
And I just want to talk about that when we get back. This article is one of the latest ones that Dean has written. It's at amiland.com. Amiland is the biggest website of its type on the planet. Dean is the biggest writer at Amiland, hence he is the biggest writer in the gun culture. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage. What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
USA News Update. Taiwan's president met with Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy today at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in California. It's the highest level meeting of a Taiwanese president on U.S. soil since 1979.
Taiwan is a successful democracy, a thriving economy, and a global leader in health and science.
China warned that sit-down meeting would be a provocation, and Beijing would respond. The National Weather Service is saying it looks like a high-end EF2 tornado hit Missouri early this morning. The Weather Service says that tornado had peak wind speeds of 130 miles an hour. At least 5 people were killed. Former President Trump took to his Truth Social platform this morning to call for the defunding of federal law enforcement agencies. Trump called on Republicans to defund the Department of Justice and the FBI until they, as he says, come to their senses. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Welcome back. We are talking with Dean Weingarten about an article that he's written about the Hughes Amendment. Now, if the Hughes Amendment were gone, if it went away tomorrow, does that mean that we could all go out, because we all, lots of people I know have multiple AR-15s, does that mean that everybody could go out and buy the sear to stick in the weapon to make it fully automatic?
Well, what it would mean is that you could go through the same procedure that you would do now to purchase a silencer through the ATF, and that you would apply for a Form 4 to purchase one, and there would have to be people that would be what we would call a Class 3 dealer that would have them available, and then you would either purchase one or you could do a Form 1 to make one yourself. And I would think that that would be what reasonably would happen if they ruled that the ATF has to allow you to pay a tax, essentially, is what the rule would be.
So it would still now, be under the NFA?
I believe it would be, yes.
But,
because that's what the 86, you know, it just said you can't follow what's in the NFA. And I think the attack on it in the court would be, yes, you have to follow what's in the NFA.
Well,
you have to allow people to buy the tax stamp, is what I'm saying.
Right. But then that's just another thing. But, I mean, the problem with what we have right now, everything, 1986, although to me and you, we remember that. We remember it well. We remember what we were doing and all this other stuff. 1986 was nearly 40 years ago. So all of these weapons that are out there today that are fully automatic are almost, they're antiques.
Oh, they are. Absolutely.
There's some handguns I would not buy that are 40 years old unless, you know, John Wayne owned it or something. So, I mean.
Right. Yeah, I do. You were correct. And it's just amazing because essentially it's the part of the weapon that has the serial number that's the important thing.
Right.
Like a side plate on a Browning Mod Deuce, for example. So if somebody has worn out a Mod Deuce, which would be a feat because they're tough and, the ammunition is quite expensive for a 50 cal. But if you did, you could take that side plate and get parts or whatever and build a whole Mod Deuce with just the side plate that was the original. It'd all be lethal. And so, people do that sort of thing. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure they do too. But I mean,
that's the kind of silliness that you get with this, with the Hughes Amendment.
Well, it was that's something that really needs to go away. But I mean, as far as what's happening with the pistol braces right now, here's where I think the lane opens up, because the pistol brace, the short barreled rifle, I don't know that that's a thing as far as cops are concerned. You know, I don't know how many short barreled rifles. It's just sort of a niche.
It's never been a thing.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying there are never short-barreled rifles used in crime.
Right.
Sure there are. I mean, there's always a few. But the Supreme Court has ruled that pistols are constitutionally protected under the Second Amendment. And short-barreled rifles are essentially just kind of a crude approximation of a pistol. I mean, it just works better to have an actual pistol. And they're protected. So it's hard to see why a short-barreled rifle would not be protected, or why you would have extra special restrictions on a short-barreled rifle. And in fact, during the deliberations on the bill, the original bill back in 1934 did not include short-barreled rifles.
Right.
But it did include pistols. But because of lobbying by the NRA and them saying, hey, no, we don't want you to register all our pistols. We're not England. They took the pistols and the handguns generally out of the bill, but because there was a Congress critter from Minnesota who seemed very confused about it all, and maybe he was feigning confusion and he just wanted more regulation, but he said, I don't want my deer hunting buddies or, my deer hunting constituents up in Minnesota to be in this bill, so shouldn't we include rifles as well? And I'm going, that makes absolutely no sense at all. But that's how they, and then the person who was representing the Department of Justice at the time said, well, we didn't have rifles in here, but if you want them in here, we can put them in here. And that's how short-barreled rifles got included. And so the legislative history on it would indicate that it's low-hanging fruit. We should get rid of short-barreled rifles, and it makes absolutely no sense that an AR-15 is protected and, an AR-15 type pistol is protected, but the in-between is not.
Well, I mean, the stuff that they've got in this, it's almost, every time they show, like, a James Bond movie where he's got a smart gun, Congress gets up there and says, we need smart gun technology, right? Judge Dredd technology. We need that in guns. That's one of those things they always go after. And it's like they look at the movies and look at those guys. Look at what John Wick is doing. He can shoot that gun with that silencer on it. Nobody knows that's happening.
Yeah.
That's not very safe at all.
The ignorance level, especially of our opposition, is incredible. And they seem proud of it. Yeah. And they do seem to legislate a lot by movies and by what the popular press can say at any one time. There's pretty good indications. And people, these bans are going away. The switchblade bans from the 1950s are going away. But there was a time when over 35 states in the union banned the carrying or even the possession, a lot of times, of switchblade knives because of a play that was written back in the 1950s called West Side Story. I mean, it was this total propaganda that was put out there by a New York legislator that the switchblade knives were uniquely dangerous and the weapon of choice of criminal teen gangs, I guess we call them. I think they call them juvenile delinquents back then. And it was all made up. There wasn't any data to show it. It just, it never made sense. But the legislature, acting on information from make-believe movies,
yeah,
or movies, enacted the law. And we saw the same thing in the 80s with all the bans on, well, I've heard different pronunciations, but nunchakus or nunchucks and throwing stars and the martial arts kind of weapons, tantas and similar things,
yeah, yeah,
where it was just based on the Bruce Lee Kung Fu movies. It didn't have any relationship. These weapons, you know, so-called martial arts weapons, were not being used to any extent in crime. I mean, it's just silly. But that's what you see happening. And that was what happened, I believe, with the 86 ban. And if you look at the record and you look at the people who are making these arguments, in the 86 ban, by the way, the 68 Gun Control Act.
I tell you what, hold up before we go there, hold up, because we've got to go to the next break. This article, this Hughes Amendment article, is at Amoland. It's one of the latest ones that Dean has had published. He has well over 2,200 plus other articles that will make you think, waiting on you at the archive there. At Amoland.com, the biggest website of its type, making Dean the biggest writer of his type. I think that's all sort of cool just to sit there and consider what you're listening to at the moment. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Time on the firing line. This is Lock and Load, and we are speaking with Dean Weingarten, and we were just getting to the Gun Control Act of 1968, which is also another one of those things. The Gun Control Act of 1968, this is when we first started serializing weapons, as an example?
As required. Yeah, we required the serialization of weapons in 68. Before that, it wasn't required. Now, there may have been some legislation about pistols, but there are millions of shotguns and 22 rifles for certain that don't have serial numbers on them because it wasn't required. And the people who manufactured them didn't want to add to the expense of manufacturing them by having to put a serial number on them and keeping the records. So they just made them without serial numbers. And there are definitely also many, probably tens or maybe hundreds of thousands of pistols out there that were manufactured without serial numbers, and I have owned them. I have what is definitely an antique single-shot pistol that my grandfather owned. That was a Remington rolling block pistol. They're very uncommon, by the way. It has no serial number on it. There was no reason to put serial numbers on these guns, on a lot of them, and there are a lot of revolvers that were made before, 1930s or so that don't have serial numbers on them. Now, many do, and many do not. It depends on the manufacturer. But the point is that you didn't have to have a serial number because it was a device for the convenience of the customer and the manufacturer. It was never meant as a means of government control. But to get back, we were talking about switchblades. And I do have an article that people can look at. It's fairly recent. I think it was published at the end of March. Let's see, the 21st, I think, about switchblades, in which Knife Rights, which is an excellent organization, I highly recommend it. And I know Doug Ritter, who's the president, and I've written a number of articles with it. And Knife Rights is attacking California law banning switchblades under the Bruin decision, which just keeps on giving. And it's a very similar thing to what we've been talking about. There never was any good reason to ban switchblade knives, and switchblades, all knives, are obviously arms under the Second Amendment. And there is this court case that has been filed saying you can't just ban them. Now, I was talking about what happened after the 1968 law, and it was in the 80s, because people were getting kits to manufacture at home silencers or suppressors. I remember them being available in the 80s, advertised in a publication that I think still exists called Shotgun News.
Right. I remember that.
It used to be the sort of like the trade publication of firearms in the United States. Everything about guns was advertised in it. You could buy a tremendous amount of stuff through the mail. And Neil Knox had columns that were in the Shotgun News. That's partly how he became prominent and was able to get his voice out. So there were these kits that you could make a suppressor out of. And it wasn't illegal to sell parts of a suppressor as long as it wasn't a whole suppressor. Well, in the 80s, I think it was in 86, the Congress, for whatever reason, I don't think there was a good reason, decided to make those kits illegal and say any single part of a suppressor that is intended to be used in a suppressor is the same as a suppressor, and so it's illegal. This is why you're not allowed to replace parts on your own suppressor anymore. You have to send it back to the manufacturer. It's absolutely insane and stupid. But I recall the debate about these suppressors. And in the debate, there was one congressman, and I forget his name precisely, but he said, there's no possible legitimate use for a suppressor. What could possibly be a legitimate use for a suppressor? There aren't any. But I can think of like four of them right off the top of my head. I mean, you know, that the biggest one is safety. It protects your hearing. It's a safety device that if by this freak situation of silencers or suppressors being included in the 1934 National Firearms Act, if it weren't in there, OSHA would be requiring that everybody use suppressors at indoor ranges for safety reasons because it protects your hearing. And there are almost certainly tens of millions of people in the United States who have lost hearing capacity because suppressors are so difficult to obtain and use in the United States. And yet, this Congress critter at the time said, I can't think of any legitimate use. And then besides the safety concerns, it's better for hunting because it doesn't disturb you and the people near you and game as much. And so it's particularly useful when you're hunting large numbers of game that are pests, such as wild hogs in Texas, for example. And it's also very useful for just to prevent noise pollution, to stop you from having to disturb your neighbors in order to get in a little target practice or to deal with pests on your property. President Teddy Roosevelt was a big fan of suppressors, and he liked them specifically for that reason. Out on Long Island, he didn't have to disturb his well-heeled neighbors like the Rockefellers with gunfire when a suppressor would mute the sound considerably so that it wouldn't disturb them. And it is also a tremendously valuable training tool in that you can teach people how to shoot firearms if they don't have to worry about the jarring impact of gunfire just, you know, within a yard's reach or less of their ears. In World War I, the U.S. government purchased, and actually before World War I, a number of Maxim suppressors for the Springfield 03A3 rifle for training purposes because it made it easier to teach troops how to shoot those rifles effectively. So there's several excellent reasons why people would use suppressors, and there's almost no reason why you would want to ban them because they're almost never used in crime. And the reason is they're bulky and they make firearms harder to conceal.
Yeah.
And the firearm is bigger, and it doesn't really stop it from being noisy. It just stops it from being so noisy that it destroys your hearing.
Well, it takes it from the level of a jackhammer to a chainsaw, I think, is the difference.
Well, it takes it, my understanding is it takes it down to the level of a jackhammer.
Oh, okay, okay. I knew a jackhammer was in that equation somewhere.
In other words, a jackhammer sounds about as loud as a suppressed firearm. So it's loud. You can still hear it. I can attest to that. And if you're close to it, you will hear it. Now, it's nowhere near as obnoxious as it is without a suppressor.
Right, right. It's probably much nicer for everybody else that's on the range with you as well. So.
Well, and your neighbors, this is why they use them. They're very popular in Europe. And in some countries in Europe, they were virtually unregulated until relatively recently. And in New Zealand, for example, silencers up until very recently, I think with the latest, COVID-19 tyranny there and their push for more gun control, and maybe even now, you could just walk into a hardware store with $20 as a 12-year-old child and walk out with a fully functional suppressor for $20.
Right. We're running out of time, Dean. We are running out of time. I'm so absorbed in this. It's a fascinating discussion. And thank you very much for taking the time to be with me today.
It is always a pleasure, and I'm glad we could do it.
Yes, sir. Be back in about 21 hours between now and then. Remember this, it has never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It has been, it's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
At Staccato, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in a gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high quality distance education using time tested materials and hands on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing.
Go to mgs.edu.
MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.